This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 7, Episode 1. The extra half inch counts. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about the extra half inch that Gareth has. The Big Bash, what's it showing us this time compared to previous years? We talk about shoulder and hip alignment for fast bowlers, and we help someone who wants to get his arm high but doesn't want to bowl too much over his head. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome back to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's a new year, and that means it's a new series. It's your guide in its seventh season to better cricket, whether that's playing or coaching. And my name's David Hinchliffe. I'm the host, and I look after things. And helping me to help you improve your game are two cricket coaches with a very fine pedigree, the first of which is the director of cricket coaching at Mealfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Gareth. How are you?
Very good, thank you very much. Yeah, new year and looking forward to it.
You're in a car park at the moment, are you?
I am in a car park at the moment. Nothing dodgy, though.
just about to go and do some work, but you managed to squeeze in half an hour with us.
I certainly have. Got a bit of level 3 tutoring to do today alongside Graham Thorpe, and got some good people on it, actually. Got some really good people on the course, so including Ashes winner Simon Jones on there, who's a good mate of mine, and I'm looking forward to catching up with him.
Good, well, yeah, that'll be a fun day. Okay, and second on the list, but definitely not least on the list, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, David. How are you?
I am pretty good, actually. Yeah, we are... on a little bit of a quiet period as club cricket goes in January, but as the closer we get to February, the more excited people get about getting in the nets and hitting some balls and doing some more stuff. So we're already ramping up towards that. So I'm getting
good
quite
stuff.
Excited for that. Yeah, trying to make the most of January, not doing that much cricket, and then I can really hit it hard for the next whatever it is, 8 months or something. One thing I wanted to get out of the way first of all, though, was the incredible effort of George Bailey recently. Did we see his hat?
No, go on, tell me about that. I haven't seen this. Tell me more.
He's brought back the wide brim.
Oh, I love a wide brim.
He's brought back the wide brim, and he's gone... in the traditional Australian wide brim hat, of course, is yellow on the top and green underneath.
Yeah.
But he's gone all gold. He's gone full... bright gold. Some people saying you could see it from space. It was a marvellous effort from him.
So it looks good, I think.
You reckon? I'm not convinced, but I love like a wide brim hat, but it's a colour thing. I'm not sure about. I'd have to have a look at it. I'll have a look online.
Yeah, investigate that guy. I love a wide brim as well, but I've not worn one for a very long time. So you know, if that comes back into fashion, I'll be first on the be first in the queue to buy myself one, because I love a wide brim. So well done, George. And speaking of Australian cricket, we also have the Big Bash to talk about. It's been going on for a little while now, and lots of exciting things happening. And of course, you get the usual talk about how 2020 is changing the game and fielding standards are going up and new shots are being invented and exciting things like that. But I was wondering if we've managed to spot anything different in this year's Big Bash that's moved things on again. Are there new things there, or is it another sort of 2020 spectacular, all very wonderful and probably the future of the game, but there's no real developments this year? Which way do you see it going?
From a personal perspective, the stuff that I've seen has been a continuation. And I think we can't always expect that every edition of the Big Bash or the IPL will throw up something completely different. There has to be a period of consolidation, I suppose, and innovation in order to master that. And that's what we're seeing now, really. I don't think there's any surprises, anything particularly special that's coming up. We're just seeing people getting better and better at it. And what I've quite liked about this edition and also some other 2020 that's gone on around the world has been a bit of a sort of redressing the balance between bat and ball a little bit. So we're seeing bowlers' skills being upped. And as a result, we're not necessarily just having the run fests around the BBL at the moment that we've come to expect. The ball's been dominating the bat at times. And there's been some brilliant innings in the middle of the game. I remember Brad Hodge putting together a fantastic innings the other day where his team were like 25 for three. And normally that would mean that you'd be completely on the back foot. But there was a rebuilding phase. So it's been great to see the ball coming back into play as well.
Is rebuilding something, Lavers, that is changing? In recent times, teams tend to continue to go for it, even if they're losing wickets. Is that something that you've noticed, and is that something that you're being able to work with your teams on?
Yeah, I think people are probably becoming more experienced in this format of the game, and that sort of at junior level, club level, and international or Big Bash level as well. So people are probably more aware of how to approach situations, and they're getting more experience in how to deal with different scenarios. So some guys might identify a situation and see that they can really trust their skills still. And even though some wickets have fallen, they're not necessarily fallen for a reason that should worry them. Whereas other times they're able to assess the situation and realise that actually a little bit more patience it might be required. So I think one thing we will see is an ongoing development of this experience, which perhaps in Test cricket doesn't change a great deal in terms of the format of the game, and people can look back 5, 10, 15, 20 years plus. In Big Bash cricket, for example, we're quite condensed into the last probably 3 or 4 years where the kind of the impact of the game has changed a little bit more with the increasing scores, and people are now responding to it, and they're just becoming more aware of how to approach different phases of the game and different scenarios within the game.
Yeah, and that's interesting as well, because, you know, it's always been said that bowlers are just, you know, the fodder for the big sixes being hit. Do you think that it's a bit too nuanced for the average cricketer, or the average cricket fan watching it, to say that, oh, well, you know, if you bring the ball back, you know, and there's less sixes hit and less boundaries hit, that's bad for 2020? Or do you think that people, even if you're coming to a game, you're a young person or someone who's not necessarily come from a background of watching cricket, but you come to a Big Bash or one IPL game, one of these big games, do you think people can understand that the game is a little bit more nuanced than that, and maybe it's not necessarily about how many sixes you see hit that's going to make it exciting?
Well, again, I think there's a balance, and that's the beauty of sport, isn't it? When you go along to live sport, you should be going there not really knowing what to expect, whether it be the result, whether it be the scoreline, whether it be the flow of the game. And I think to have the ball coming back into play a little bit makes it more exciting, because instead of just going there and having the expectation of seeing 190 plays 190, we do go now thinking that we might get a game which is a tight 140. And sometimes they can be some of the best games to watch. Rather than watching the ball, you know, a 220 take and knocking them off in the last over. Sometimes, you know, chasing 110 on a pitch that's maybe not quite so good, or against a good set of bowlers that just get early wickets and make it difficult for people, can be as exciting as watching the ball disappear out of the park. We never want to go to a game of sport, I think, where we can totally predict the flow of that game, because that just becomes boring.
Yeah, even if it's, you know, like you said, 190, 200, and then 190, 200, it just becomes a smash-off then, doesn't it? And that has its excitement if it's a close game. But I think the fact that it's a close game is more important to me, because everyone can understand when it's a tight finish. And you can take that into playing as well, into the non-professional game. Last year, I remember, we had a game where it was a close finish. It was going right to the wire, and we were batting, and everyone on the team was getting quite hit up and stressed out about it. Oh, you know, it's too close for comfort, was the general feeling. But my feeling was, is this not the reason that we play cricket, to be in these situations and to enjoy these close finishes? And, okay, if you come out on the losing side sometimes, that's going to happen, but enjoy the experience of going through that tight finish, and maybe next time you'll be on the winning side. I think that's important for playing as well as watching, isn't it?
Absolutely, I think people are there to feel a bit of success, but success is at its greatest when you've really earned it and you've really been pushed all the way to the limit. So, if everything was done and dusted with 3 or 4 overs to go, or everything was a comfortable victory one way or the other, then those experiences would never be the same, and people wouldn't really appreciate the excitement that can be created in a game of cricket. And as we've seen in recent times, that can still happen in Test cricket or ODI cricket as well as it can in 2020 cricket.
And I can tell you it's a lot less fun. Last year, our first 11 lost almost every game, and our second 11 won almost every game at a canter. And it was equally upsetting for the guys who were involved in those games, because, you know, there was no challenge. If you're playing in a second 11 game and you put the opposition in and then bowl them out for 30, you know, the game's over by 2 o'clock, and then you play in a first team game and you get rolled over for 100 and they knock them off in 15 overs, then it's just as bad, really. It's just there's a different thing on the points table. But anyway, that's enough of that. Let's go into the yes no round. That's 3 questions that we can only answer yes or no to, no matter how much more that you want to say. I've got the question, so let's fire away. First question. You can get 450 balls an hour with a bowling machine.
No.
No.
Second question. Fear of failure is a roadblock people create themselves.
Yes.
Yes.
Third question. Self-review is more difficult than any cricket practice.
No.
No.
Now it's time for the question section on the show. That's a couple of questions that are sent in by listeners to this show or readers to the Pitch Vision website, pitchvision.com. And we do our best to answer the problems of the listeners to this show. And whether we get that answer right or not, we pick a winner of the 2 questions. And that's a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions into us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. And also you can find us in other ways, which we'll tell you about at the end of the show. The first question is from our old friend Elvis. And Elvis is having a real problem. He's actually sort of thrown 2 questions into one here, so we'll see how we do with it. First of all, Elvis says, I've been talking to my coach and he's told me that my shoulder and hip alignment is not towards the target. I've attached some of my footage. My coach says that I should be able to draw 2 parallel lines from my hips and shoulders, and they should both be aligned to the target. I'm interested to hear what you guys reckon and what I can do to improve this. Secondly, I was reported for a suspect action in one of my recent games. I'm interested to hear what you think about this and what I can do to eradicate the suspect action, because in a few weeks, I have to be tested to decide whether I'm able to continue bowling. So let's start with the shoulder and hip alignment. He's been kind enough to send us videos, so what do we think?
Well, I think he's not too far off. I can see where his coach is coming from. But he's not too far off, Elvis. And there's a couple of fairly simple fixes rather than getting too caught up in technique to help that out. I mean, the main cause of the misalignment is, from what I can see, is that as you come into your back foot contact in your delivery stride, your right knee goes towards the stumps, and we need to try and sort of eradicate that, really. And that's going to have a knock-on effect to your body position at the crease. And what you see is that your head position gets outside your base, really. And that's what is misaligning you in terms of your hips and shoulders. So the way to do that, if you can think about getting like a bungee cord around your waist with the coach pulling you from behind, then that will make you get your centre of mass going towards your target a bit better rather than ducking in. And you'll find that you'll be training yourself to go in a straight line, which will give you more stability on your back leg. There'll be less flexion of your back leg going into the stumps, which means that everything will be going forward. And I should imagine over time, and you only have to do 6 or so of these and then take it off and then bowl 5 or 6 balls, get some footage from the front and see how you're aligned. But that normally has a positive effect. And then the other thing is to use the bungee lines and get you pulled towards the direction that you naturally fall. And what that generally finds in our cricketers is that they then work against that bungee cord and stand up a little bit more. Again, do six or servos and then have a little look to see how you're standing up. And repeat that until you get to a point where you're standing up more. But I can see where he's coming from. But it is only a little bit of change that you need to affect here, Elvis, to get yourself achieving what he's asking for. And there will be some benefits from that, there is no doubt.
I'm just going through it again, actually. I obviously, it's a little bit tricky to give a cast iron yes or no, because people's actions change on a day-to-day basis and people are going to look slightly different depending on what clothing they're wearing as well. So he's obviously got a kind of a slightly baggy top on there, which isn't going to give us an absolute definitive yes or no. There is a little bit of bend in there, or there appears to be in the clothing that he's wearing. However, when we're looking at measuring it, we'd obviously have to have him without that on, and we'd have to be able to kind of assess, first of all, what's the degree of the bend, and also is it straightening, and the straightening is the key part. I'm just flicking from one angle to the other, actually, at the moment, as I'm looking at it. And if you look from side on, you can see that you can, on the slow motion option, you can see a slight kink in the action. However, you don't actually see a great deal of extension there. And then similarly from behind, you can see the slight bend in the action, and it looks like maybe it extends slightly. So, yes, I would say that there probably is a little bit of bend in there. Whether or not the degree of extension is enough to take serious action, I'm not sure at this stage, and you'll probably find out shortly. However, the two are quite interlinked. You often find that people who are slightly open with their chest as spinners find that they then do have to kind of bend their arm slightly to get the ball going towards the target, because the natural swing of the arm is going to go towards first, second, third slip, somewhere in that direction, because that's where hips and shoulders are pointing. So a little bend in arm and extension towards the target can help that. So I wouldn't overly worry about the arm and the elbow as an individual case. I'd more focus on trying to get that body a little bit more upright, possibly realign slightly to try and get hips and shoulders slightly straighter. But these things aren't miles out, and I think Gareth has said that already, but these things aren't a million miles away from where they should be. So small changes, and all you're actually looking for is quite a small outcome. And there will be additions as well. If you are slightly open, things like bowling a wrong one's a little bit tougher because the ball comes slightly more out of the front of your hand. So getting it all the way around the back is slightly trickier. And you might find that you generate a bit more overspin, and that wrong one becomes an option as you start to be a little bit more upright and realign those hips and shoulders as well.
And how much of it also, these changes, depends on what the ultimate goal is for the player? The reason I ask that is for both of these, they are relatively small changes, and probably if he's just looking to be a decent club cricketer and, you know, give the ball a rip, you know, put it on a length more often than not, and do some good things on a Saturday, then it's going to be less important to have those changes than, say, if he wants to play for Australia in 2 years or something like that, right? So, how important is it to put that goal into your mind when you're looking at technical changes?
Well, I think it's important from a coaching perspective to have an idea of what somebody is wanting to achieve. I think that's absolutely crucial, and we have to align our interventions along that. And often it's the time scale which changes rather than what you're trying to do with them. In this case, there is a time scale. We've got a time scale of a few weeks. You're going to be tested, Elvis. I actually think that you can do a little bit of work ahead of that testing date, which will help that out. And Sam's absolutely spot on. It's difficult to tell without having the proper angles, the proper equipment, without having you bowling probably without a shirt on, so we can see how everything is actually working rather than the baggy shirt impeding our view a little bit. But I think that there is something there that's making people think that you might be throwing the ball. really the way that you're going to stop that illusion from happening, or the actuality from happening, whichever it is in your bowling circle. You've got a very short bowling circle at the front, so your bowling hand doesn't go towards your target at all, and I'm doing it as I'm sitting here in a car, but your bowling hand basically drops down to your right hip rather than going towards the target. And when I was lucky enough to work with Terry Jenner extensively in the early 2000s, he would always talk about getting both of the non-bowling arm and the bowling arm out in front of the body, so you start a full bowling circle early, and you don't do that, and as a result you're having to straighten your arm later in your bowling circle, which gives either the illusion or the actuality of there being a bit of a kink or a carry angle in the arm. So I would suggest to you that you get your arms out, your bowling hand out in front of yourself, rather than just dropping it straight into your right hip. A bit of practice off one or two steps, even from the crease, will help you significantly. And when you go to that testing day, then you won't have any problems at all. The crucial thing for me is whatever happens on that testing day is not to give up. One of the things that's been really evident in your communication with this show over the years is you're really passionate about your leg spin bowling. And, you know, don't give up because somebody has questioned your action. Do something about it to make it less questionable, make people not raise eyebrows, but certainly don't give up, mate. And even if they say you're not going to be able to bowl for a little bit, then you keep working hard because you've got a massive passion. You can bowl as well. We've seen that in the videos that you've shown us over the years. And it would be an absolute travesty for you to not be bowling in a year, 10 years time, because it would be such a shame. You've got a real gift there, mate, as Terry Jenner used to say, and just work at it. But extend that bowling circle in front of you before you drop it down. That would be my major tip to you.
I actually think that's... I've got something that's been... I wanted to talk about, which is a little bit more complicated, but that actually ties in into exactly what Gareth has said there. And it comes back a little step further. I'd rather see you drive your arms forwards when you drive your right knee forward. So I'd like to see your right hand drive forwards with your right knee into your jump. And as a result of that, your arms wouldn't have risen so high and come up above your head by the time you're then looking to start that bowling circle. So the arm would be out in front. Now, this might be a little bit more complicated to kind of discuss when there's no feedback. So obviously, if you did want to get in touch, I could explain this a little bit better. But it's going along exactly the same lines as what Gareth is talking about. But I think if we go back to that jump and think about where our arms are in our jump and where our right arm is, how we could have what I'd call a split action, where our right arm and left arm work independently into the jump. I think there's something we could do there which would ultimately help that bowling circle, as Gareth has talked about, also help a little bit with the time you're spending in the air, which would allow you to get a bit more side on, helping you align those hips and shoulders. So there are options along there, but I do think that your first port of call is just trying to do some simple things and getting through this initial assessment. And then at some stage, there may be other things we can talk about to help here. But as Gareth has said, there is... There's been so much contact over the years. There's been so much interest that your passion for the game is obviously as great as anyone. So definitely don't be giving up on what you're doing.
Next question's from Jayesh, and Jayesh says, "While fast bowling, my hand comes too much over my head. I just want to have a high arm action. What should I do?"
Yeah, let's just think about what the reasons we might want to do this for. So, yes, you want to have a high arm action, and yes, it sounds like you're going beyond the perpendicular. So what is it you're looking to achieve? Now, if someone's in that position, they're probably slightly off balance. If someone's in that position, they may not be generating as much force towards the target as they'd ideally like. So the speed they're generating and the direction of the control of that might not be quite as good as they'd like. And obviously... In addition, they're more likely to find themselves in a position bowling kind of leg cutters or in swingers as opposed to shaping the ball away. So the first thing we need to consider is there value in sort of the line we're looking to explore, and are we looking to develop something that's going to be of use? And given that, I would say probably that there is. Obviously, we're not looking at you right now, so we're not exactly sure what it looks like, but it sounds like there is potential to improve it. If there is an instance of your arm coming over the top of your head. There's a couple of common causes, and one of them could be due to some sort of misalignment, and that's likely to start at the bottom of the body. So it could be a misalignment which is causing you potentially to fall away and that arm to go beyond perpendicular. The other thing that I've seen in a few guys recently actually is misalignment of the front arm extension. So instead of extending and driving back past your left hip with your left arm, which allows your body to rotate, I've seen a couple of guys in recently that I've worked with who've actually extended out towards leg slip, fine leg, and then the arm has folded in front of their body, and this prevents them rotating quite as well when it comes to actually bowling the ball. So as a result, their head's in the way and their arm is kind of stuck behind their head, and they get in quite a slightly awkward position and have to then fall away to the side to get their head out of the way. So there are different reasons for it, and Gareth will have a couple more, I'm sure. The one thing I would say, though, is it sounds like you're working towards something and you've identified something that's going to make you better. However, obviously, we need to find the root cause for it. And without looking at it directly, it's not easy to identify what it is when there are a number of different options or possibilities out there.
That phrase high action is often linked to someone who, you know, who falls away a bit, or, you know, has their bowling arm in a position that's too far across, doesn't it, Gareth? Because so if someone's been told they've got to get their arm up high, and then they've interpreted that and gone a bit too far.
Yeah, that can happen, and it's something that we probably don't talk about as much as we used to. I mean, certainly when I learned to bowl many years ago, especially from 5'6½" or whatever I come in as, you know, it was all about bowling from height.
Gareth.
Well, it, you know, it, massive, mate. When you're this short, trust me, every half inch counts, that is for sure. But I was always encouraged to bowl from the top of my height. And generally, what tended to happen when people talk to you about that is, yes, you would try and release the ball from as high as possible, which would often mean that the top half of the body would lean away slightly to the offside of a right-handed batter as a right-arm bowler, and you'd release it high. The other thing that would happen is that your delivery stride would get shorter as a result of that, trying to be high. And as we know now, particularly in fast bowling, we're looking for the delivery stride to get longer in order to help produce more power up the kinetic chain. So there's been, through sports science, there's been more awareness of what we're actually trying to achieve. But Sam's nailed it, really. And it's, you know, the body is going to be leaning to the wrong side. It's not going to be going towards a target, and as a result, the release position is going to be over the top of your head rather than in the proper arm slot. And again, going back to the previous question with Elvis, those drills with bungee ropes and behind and from the side, particularly one from the side, are fantastic for getting people to stand up. So rather than worrying about technique, the body will literally work against that force from the side to make itself stand up. And then when you take it away, the theory, particularly with repetition, is that you will have a more upright body position, and as a result, your arm slot will become better. So yeah, I mean, have a look online. There's loads of TheraBand type work that you can do. Just get a really long TheraBand, probably looking at 3 to 5 meters. Get somebody to run alongside you and pull you towards a direction that you generally fall. As a result, you'll stand up more and your arm slot will improve. It's a really good one to have. Going back a little bit further into root causes, the run-up angle often has an effect. If somebody comes in at an acute angle, then generally when they land their feet, they're having their energy is going down towards fine leg, as Sam was talking about. And as a result, they have to compensate to get the ball to go down towards the stumps. And the thing that happens is that you get that side flexion, and as a result, your release position ends up being over perpendicular, beyond perpendicular. So if you straighten your run-up alignment out, make sure that your bound is going towards your target rather than towards fine leg to a right-hander, then that will give you a great chance of being able to stand up. But, you know, there's two ways, run-up or using those TheraBands, which I think are really basic ways of getting around it. Something that we could make far, far more complex than that if we wanted to.
And when you're making a change like that as well, it can often feel, when you try and do it differently, it can often feel ridiculous. Like, for example, he can feel like his arm is ridiculously low, comically low, But then you look, you know, you get someone to watch it, or you look it back on the video yourself, and it's actually hardly any different from what happened before. You've just made a very small change. Because the body's very good at locking into a certain way of doing things, it's when you try and change it, it can feel a lot, the change can feel a lot bigger than it is until you get used to the change.
That's where that visual feedback comes in. It's so useful, isn't it, to just say to someone, you're not bowling from 90 degrees. You've actually gone from just beyond the perpendicular to pretty much vertical, or just on the right side of vertical as it would be. Yet they feel they're bowling from kind of a 3 o'clock position with their arm. And,
yeah.
And realistically, they've made 3 or 4 degrees change, not 70 or 80 degrees change.
And now it is a minute on the clock. And it's soapbox time. Mark Garraway, adding even more inches to his height, is climbing on it, and he will have an uninterrupted minute to speak from it. Over to you, Garris.
I think I might have to lose 10 seconds of this because I'm a bit giddy, because I'm probably at about 7'1" at the moment, and I'm not used to that. I'm going to talk about travelling really now, because travel is something that we all have to do when we're playing sport. You know, we spend a lot of time travelling to our own home ground, but then at weekends or wherever we're playing, we have to travel to away games. And there's an art to it, because if you look at the history of the game, the home team, for a number of reasons, generally comes out on top more often than the away team. And that could be down to understanding the conditions and what have you. But touring sides or travelling sides, it's a real skill to get right when you get to the ground, what time you get to the ground, what you do when you get there, getting familiarised with your conditions, making sure that you fueled yourself appropriately, making sure that you've got the journey out of your legs, whether it's 20 minutes or whether it's 4.5 hours, which can happen when you're playing in countries such as Australia or South Africa, where the teams are very widely spread apart. You know, getting your conversations right in the car or on the plane or however, or your bus, is really important in terms of that preparation. But, you know, it's not just the condition of the wicket and not being familiar with that that you can attribute to why home teams generally win games of cricket. I think we can get our preparation when we're travelling to games a lot better, whether it be a home game or even, and especially when it's an away game.
And that is just about all we've got time for on the show. We are going to leave you in a moment. Before we go, we need to decide on something, and that is the winner of this week's competition. It is an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we had, as we always do, a couple of questions. The first one was Elvis and a couple of little things about his leg spin action. And the second one was Jayesh, and he was asking about bowling from too much over his head. So which one did you prefer this week, Garris?
Well, Elvis always writes us good questions, and we hope we've given him some real good tips there. Work hard and you'll get through that testing protocol very easily, Elvis. But this week, I'm not going to go with you, because I reckon you've got about 20 of our courses anyway.
He's got them all, yeah.
I think, is it Jayesh?
Jayesh, yep.
Yeah, Jayesh, you've won it this week. Good question. We see a lot of people bowling from slightly over the top of their head, and hopefully a couple of those simple drills and a bit of understanding that Sam gave you there, and you'll be fine.
Congratulations, Jayesh. And Garris, if someone was listening into the show who was not Jayesh and they wanted their chance to win the prize, get their question answered and win the prize, then how could they get in touch with us?
Well, they could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. You can also get us through social media. Our Facebook is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. And you can find us on Twitter by tweeting @pitchvisionacad. You can message us in either of those ways. You can also listen to the show every week. If you want to do that, then it's very easy to do. Just go into your podcast app of choice and do a search for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there. And if you want to stream the show online, have a look at the show notes or look at some of the other articles and things we've got going on the Pitch Vision website, you can go to pitchvision.com/academy. You can see all the information there, but if you want to focus in on the podcast, click on the podcast link. You'll see all the information there for you for all the shows going right back to the beginning. That's all for this week. I hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Garris. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, fellas.
Thanks, guys.